sir.
I mean, I tell you.
Wonderful, wonderful, brother.
You got your...
Yeah, I got my...
You right.
My You break on my Hey, man. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Bless his holy name. That was great preaching. Get your head in the right place. Brother Wayne, I told Brother Bill, I said, when you get through preaching, we probably don't need any more preaching. I appreciate Brother Bill Vaughn. We've been friends for years and years, and he'll always give you something good from the Word of God that will help you down the road. Amen. Well, here it is Thursday night. Tomorrow night, this week will be gone. It sure has slipped by awful fast, hasn't it? Thank you, preacher, for the invitation to come and preach tonight and all this week. And I've enjoyed it. I really have. How many of you got your Bibles tonight? Would you wave your Bibles just a little bit right there all over the bed? Okay. If you're physically able to stand, I want you to stand and turn to the book of John, chapter number 20. The book of John, chapter number 20, and verse 19 down through verse number 22. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Keep your head in the right place. That'll go with you down through the years. You won't just think about that from here to home. You'll think about that next week. Amen. I think you'll think of it every time your head gets out of order. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. That's great. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Boy, I like that, don't you? And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Boy, that's great right there too. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. There's that word peace again. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. That's the power of God. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. We want to pray. Our Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you bless us with. And thank you for the privilege, Lord, that's been ours to be here at the Faith Baptist Church, Lord, this week. And thank you for all the preaching that we've heard, Lord. And thank you for the pastor inviting us. And we want to thank you tonight for Brother Bill. Lord, thank you for the good message and keep your head in the right place. And, oh, God, may we do that. May we never forget this message tonight. Lord, I pray now that you would touch me. I stand where no man dare stand alone. And I ask you, dear God, to help me now to preach, Lord, and what you would have us to preach and say what we need to say and not say what we don't need to say. Lord, I pray you'd help me. Stir your people. Revive us again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I preached last night on faithfulness and how that faithfulness represents dependability. And we're living in a wishy-washy, uncertain day, aren't we? We should be known for our dependability. And I preach on homes are built on dependability, businesses are built on dependability, schools are built on dependability, nations and churches operate on dependability. We are to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is depending upon us to get his, dependent upon us to get his work done while we're down here. Now the Bible says in the book of James 1 and verse number 6, He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, my friend. And the word wavering there means to hesitate. It means to doubt. It means to stagger. It means to judge. It means to defer. It means not leaning and not leaning firm. And people that are unfaithful to the house of the Lord is not leaning right. May I say their head's not in the right place. And not only do we find the word dependability when it comes to faithfulness, but we are to be faithful unto death, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. In Revelation 2 and verse number 10, he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And a lot of the folk in Jesus' day were martyrs. They lived a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were killed for the testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You and I that are saved by the grace of God were to be faithful as long as our health permits us to go to the house of the Lord. We ought to be faithful until we leave this world. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll find something else, my friend. When you are unfaithful to the house of God, I'm going somewhere. When you are unfaithful to the house of God, God will not bring down the blessings from heaven upon us. Because faithfulness to God will bring down divine blessings beyond anything that this world can know about. And so, divine blessings will not be poured down upon us if we are unfaithful to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 4 and verse number 17, the Bible said, therefore to him that doeth do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So we know that it's good, we know that it's right to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Where are you when the pastor needs you? Where are you? Are you in church where you should be? Are you physically able to go to church? Do you want to go to church? Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so I preached on faithfulness last night, and I told you if God didn't change my mind, I was going to continue that message tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, what you miss out on when you're not faithful. I'm going to assure you that we will miss something that is precious to us if we're not faithful to the house of God. Every time that you miss, the preacher's going to have a message that would have helped you had you been in the house of the Lord. I told you last night, after being saved now for the 28th of this month, 47 years, and I'd never been to Sunday school but one time in my life until I got saved when I was 23 years old. But thank God I have not missed going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting nights. Over, listen, you could count them on this hand and have some fingers left. When you get saved by the grace of God, you'll fall in love with the house of God. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we can know how much that we, and people will know how much we love the Lord by the way that we love the church. I believe you love the church as much as you love the Lord. And Brother Bill was right. In these 47 years, nobody has ever, by the good grace of God, had to knock on my door and invite me to come to church on Sunday. Amen. But I sure have invited a whole lot of people to come to church on Sunday. Whoop! Ain't that a blessing? That's what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Hey, Does the Lord find you faithful on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, whenever you have the midweek prayer meeting? Can anybody depend upon you? I'm telling you, my friend, people are looking at us and people are reading our lives. We are a written epistle known and read of all men. Somebody is reading my life every day and somebody is reading your life every day. And we ought to have a good letter for them to read. A letter of faithfulness, a letter of fruitfulness, my friend. A letter of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do you miss? What do you miss whenever you miss the house of the Lord? Well, number one, you miss the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now look what the Bible said here in my text verses in John chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas is not present. Thomas is not present at this time. And so first of all, my friend, you find and you miss the presence of the Lord. I don't want to miss the presence of the Lord. For where two or three met together, he said, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And when you're in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he is in our midst, ladies and gentlemen, there is joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look in your Bibles, if you will, please, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 16 and verse number 11. And notice what the psalmist had to say concerning the presence of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse number 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Now the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thank God, I'm glad for the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 10, chapter 9 and chapter number 8, the latter part of verse number 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, ladies and gentlemen. And David lost the joy of his salvation because he was caught in sin. And you always get caught in sin, whether your family or your friends, if they may not catch you and the church may not catch you, but God always catches when we're in sin. And so David begged the Lord in Psalm 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David didn't have his head in the right place. And I'm going to tell you, when a child of God gets in sin, they don't have their head in the right place. And the Bible said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, that's a blessing from God. I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation. The salvation is the Lord, but he gave it to us when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And when you miss going to the house of the Lord, when you are physically able to go to church and you don't go to church, then you are missing the presence of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be, he wants to be in our presence, and he brings the joy of the Lord with him. Hallelujah. You know, there is a lot of weeping and a lot of sorrow that goes on in our lives. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Psalm chapter number 30 and in verse number 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that word favor there means delight. That word favor means desire. That word pleasure means, or that word means pleasure, the word favor does. It means will. And I'm going to tell you that God wants to bestow his favor upon us. And he did that when he died on the cross of Calvary. He did that when he saved our soul. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. And so I find, my friend, that whenever you miss the house of God, when you should be there, you miss the presence of the Lord. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hallelujah. I like it when the Lord is there, don't you? Somebody said he's always with us, and every once in a while he'll just shut out with us. Amen. I like that. And so Thomas was not present when the Lord came and to the disciples and appeared to the disciples, and Thomas was not present, and so therefore he missed the presence of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I want you to notice if you will, please. I like the joy of the Lord. Brother, I'm going to tell you in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 3, you find fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. God wants us to have full joy. Isn't that a blessing? I love to be around people that have full joy. Hallelujah. Running over. And I had a man, my first cousin told me, he said, if I die before you do, I want you to preach at my funeral and I want you to sing a song. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. How long's it been since your cup overflowed and it ran down the side of the cup into the saucer and you had to drink from the saucer because your cup was overflowed and you couldn't hold anymore? And I got news for us. When we overflow, it'll get off on somebody else. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing how the messages just tie right into one another? Been like that all the weekend. Full joy. In John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, man, isn't that a blessing, might remain in you, and that your joy, he said, might be full. I like that, praise God. That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and shout. In John 16, verse number 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow. There's that word sorrow again, Brother Bill. But I will see you again. He'd already told him, 14, and let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank God. You know what Brother Mace Jackson said? I'm going to tell you where heaven is. He said, I'll tell you right now where heaven is. It's not hard to find out. Heaven is in where Jesus is. Where is it? He's in the third heaven, and that's God's abode, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now look what he said in John 16, verse 122. And he said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Everything's going to be all right. Christian folk, everything's going to be all right because we just happen to be on the winning side. Amen. And the Bible said this, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Praise God. I want to tell you, we won't never lose our joy in heaven. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. Isn't that a blessing to know that? So we find in God's presence, there's a lot of things that I could, but I can't give you all of them tonight. I don't have time. May continue right on tomorrow night, the good Lord willing. The Bible said this in this chapter, that Thomas was not present with them, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Thomas was not there in these verses. You'll find later that he was there, but here Jesus appears to the disciples, and Thomas is not present with them. Oh, Lord, how many times do us preacher men, before we go to church on Wednesday night, Sunday night, or on Sunday morning, revival meetings, camp meetings, do we have to get along and we do this because we want to do this, we must do this? We get along with the holy and the righteous God and pray, oh God, would you help us today? Would you give us that good liberty? Would you give us that good power? Would you give us that good unction to preach the word of God as it is to men, women, boys and girls as they are? Because we need the presence of God Almighty. Not only do preachers need that, but every child of God needs the presence of the Lord. Amen. So when you're unfaithful to the house of God and the things of God, brother, I'm telling you, I've got one family. They're not members of our church. They don't even come faithful enough to be members of the church. If you're not going to be faithful to the house of God and try your best to be faithful to church, you ain't got no business being a church member. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. You have to call them up. You won't see them for 7 weeks. You call them up. I'll be there Sunday. And sure enough, they're there on Sunday. Some of them, I just about got the number memorized. Oh, y'all, you know what I'm talking about. So here we find that Thomas missed the presence of the Lord. And then number two, he missed the peace of the Lord. I like that peace, don't you? Great peace have they which love what? Thy word. What does that say? In Psalm 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 119, verse number 97, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day long. I like that, don't you? Great peace are they which love thy law. I'm going to tell you, look what he said in verse number 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Man, they was afraid. The Jews, my friend, were going to kill them. And don't you know, that was a peaceful thing for them. When Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Jesus didn't enter in among them to hurt them. Jesus entered in among them to help them. And Jesus wants to help us. He doesn't want to hurt us. Even when we hurt ourselves and somebody else hurts us maybe, Jesus comes by to help us. Hallelujah. He happens to be our help, ladies and gentlemen. Look in the book of Psalm 46 in verse number 1. Amen. Great peace. Amen of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the book of Psalm 46. I'm turning it just as fast as I can't. Did y'all get that? Just as fast as I can't. Look in Psalm chapter number 46 in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the depths of the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. And here God was in the midst of those disciples, and they had fear, but when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Peace be unto you," he said that twice to them. I believe, my friend, that the fear of the Jews was gone. Oh, we know what it is to be fearful, don't we? Yes, sir. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, ladies and gentlemen, the presence of the Lord was missed by Thomas, and the peace of the Lord was missed by Thomas. The Bible said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee," in Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Praise be unto a holy and the righteous God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse number 1. There is no peace outside of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 14 and verse number 27. And look what the Lord said. The Bible said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither," he says, "let it be afraid." Look what the Bible says in chapter number 16 of John and verse number, and let's look at verse number 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have" what? "Peace." He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I'm glad Jesus overcame the world before us, but Jesus overcame the world for us. I'm going to tell you, Jesus had us in mind before he ever came as a man into this world. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," in John 1 and verse number 14. I'm so glad he saves old sinners. Woo! Aren't you glad he keeps old sinners? Aren't you glad? Thank God he's promised never to leave us, nor would he ever forsake us. I like that, don't you? You know, Paul said something about peace while he was in jail. Oh, in the book of Philippians chapter number 4, some good stuff. I want to give it to you right quick. Amen. Ain't the word of God precious to us, ladies and gentlemen? In chapter number 4, you find that Paul is giving exhortation to unity and joy in chapter 4, verse 1 through verse number 5. And you'll find, my friend, verse 5 down through verse number 7, he talks about the secret of the peace of God. He said, "Let your moderation," that means gentleness, "be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Paul said, everything's going to be all right, Brother Wayne. Everything's going to be all right because the Lord is at hand. Isn't that good to know that? Thank God we'll never be alone again. Say amen. Amen. The Lord is at hand. Yeah. And not only did he say that, he said, "Be careful for nothing." That means let's don't worry ourselves to death. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 6:25. Peter talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright in the morning star. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved," in Psalm 55 and verse number 22. He said this. Look what he said now. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Brother Bill, during the time of your sorrow, you was praying and agonizing with God. You were letting your request be known unto God. And Jeremiah 33, I quoted one time, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He's a mighty God. He's a great God. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. He's never found me in these 47 years of ministry. Never let me down. He's never disappointed me. Right. Thank God what a Savior we serve. Now, and the peace of God. Ah, there it is. Woo! I like it, don't you? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now look what he said. You find the word whatsoever many times in this next verse of scripture. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. And he said, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Woo! Praise God, these things I'm talking about were seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do people see in us, ladies and gentlemen?
Right.
And then he said this, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that a blessing from God? Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in jail. And brother, he never, you know why Paul had the joy of the Lord? My friend, because Paul realized this. You may lock me up in the prison, and you may even throw away the key. And you may even laugh at me and scoff at me and ridicule me and talk about me and say, you've had it now, old boy. But there's one thing that they could not do. They could lock the Apostle Paul up, but they couldn't lock the Lord out.
Right.
Woo! Thank God they could not lock the Lord out. When he said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world, that means if we have to go to jail, I hope I don't ever have to go to jail. I've been there a few times to preach and to sing, but I've never been in there because of a crime that I committed. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, I don't even like to go there to preach and sing. I don't like that when them doors click. The only time I want to hear them doors click is when I'm going out the other side of them, and then they click. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying, folk? God is so good to us. The peace. Let's don't let selfishness, let's don't let envy, jealousy, malice, or strife, let's don't let anything, let's don't let people, let's don't let circumstances and obstacles rob us of our peace, my friend. I quoted it the other night in John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The devil can't steal our salvation, but he can steal our joy. And what good are we without joy, Brother Wayne? What good are we without the joy of the Lord? Amen. It's our strength. And you see, let me get back in and see what I'm talking about. Thomas. Thomas was not present when the Lord showed up. And so he missed the presence of the Lord. He missed the peace of the Lord. And then he missed the power of the Lord. Praise God. Look what happened. You say, where's that word power at? I'll show you in just a minute. The Bible said this in verse number 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and the disciples, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now that glad goes right along with the joy. Joy means gladness, and gladness means joy. Woo! Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
And the Bible said this. He said in verse number 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Amen. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now you and I that are saved by the grace of God, We don't have to say, Lord, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, because when you got saved and when I got saved, the Holy Ghost came on the inside and took up his abode on the inside of us. But he breathed on them. It's not my breath and my touch that you need. It's not your breath and your touch that I need. Brother Sidler said, it's God's touch that I need. Brother Sattler said, it's God's touch that you need. It's God's touch that we need. Make us a better Christian. A better Christian. You say, how powerful is that breath of God? Well, I'll tell you how powerful it is. Hey, man, somebody said breath is the weakest thing that we have. But if you don't have any breath, you ain't got no strength anywhere. You're dead. Graveyard dead. Look in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, and I'll show you how powerful his breath is. Chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he didn't just stop there. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
We need God to breathe on us. To make us men a better person. Us preachers a better preacher. Us husband a better husband. And you wives need the Lord to breathe on you and ask the Lord, breathe on me, Lord. Touch me, Lord, that you might be a better wife, that you might be a better Christian. Oh, listen, brother, if we're going to do like the Bible said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven, we're going to have to ask the Lord, breathe on us, Lord. Touch us again, Lord. Revive us again, Lord. Fire us up again, Lord. We need God's touch. We need God's power to stand for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God called me to preach several years ago, 40-some years ago. And I was preaching. I've been preaching on radio ever since that time. I started about 6 months after God called me to preach. Preaching on radio. I'm on 1, 2, 3, 4 radio stations now. I've been on radio ever since God called me to preach in those 6 months after that. Now, I was preaching a message, some of you have heard me say this, on knowing that you are saved by the grace of God in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. And on the radio, I was having a time, 15 minutes, man, come on preaching, go off preaching. I was preaching on how you can know that you're saved by the grace of God. And I had a relative that called me, and I got back home, and he said, I heard you broadcast, and if you ever preach again on knowing that you're saved, I'm going to come to your door, and I'm going to stomp your head in your driveway. Now, he did. He threatened me. Some of y'all have been cursed out, but I got cussed out. And I said, you don't talk like that when you're not drinking. I've been around you when you were sober and no alcohol in your system, and you don't talk like that. And I said, what's making you, the reason why you're doing this and saying this is because you're about half drunk. Well, half drunk's probably a whole drunk. Yeah. I said, you wouldn't say something like that if you wasn't drinking. You preach it again, I'll show you. I said, okay. So the next Sunday, I felt like it might be the will of God to get me a big man to go with me down there. That radio station. I mean, a man that could, this fella cussed me, he could just say, hey, buddy, he'd be on the ground. So I opened up the Bible and I said, please turn to 1 John chapter 13. I want to continue preaching what I preached last Sunday afternoon on how that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved by the good grace of God. You love Jesus Christ when you get saved. Amen. You'll be a brand new Christian Jesus when you get saved. I preached that for about 15 minutes. Praise God. Got back home. He called me up. He said, 9:39, I'll be at your driveway and I'm going to stomp your head in your own driveway. I said, well, come on, big boy. I said, What you going to do if you get in my driveway and my gravel that I have bought and paid for? And you get and you're going to stomp my head in my gravel? What you going to do if God stomps your head in my gravel? You say, where was you at 9:30? I'll tell you where I was at 9:30. I was in the back bedroom, praise God, praying he wouldn't show up. Because I knew if he did, me or him was going to get hurt. He didn't show up. Praying in the time of sorrow. What about praying in the time of fright? Hallelujah, praise God. That works too. I didn't want to beat up on him. But I'm going to tell you about 2 or 3 months later, God got his attention. Did you know he fell on gravel? Do you know you make cement out of gravel, don't you? Did you know he fell off of a truck and fell on the gravel and messed his back up, the top of his back up, and he had to lay in traction for so long that they had to put a rod in his back and they couldn't put it straight. They had to bend it just like that. And he walked the rest of his life like this. But during that time, while he was in the hospital, he got gloriously saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Never cussed me anymore. Joined the church, followed the Lord in believers' baptism. When he came down several years after that and was passing away, he told his wife, he said, be sure and tell Brother Paul I want him to have a part in my funeral service. And I was so thrilled to do it. We got to have the touch of God on us. I never will. Y'all never know Shorty Moser. Brother, did you ever know Shorty Moser? His legs was about this long. Right there. And he's in time. Well, his legs might have been a little bit long on that, but his arms about, his whole arm was about this long. He'd preach, I tell you one thing, I bless God, I tell you the Lord is good. Hey, you better get saved by the grace of God. Hey, you don't get saved by the grace of God, you're going to die and go to hell. Boy, he was a fireball preacher man. You ever know him? Little Shorty Moser, Benji. He was the first one I told when I was on my job and I accepted the call to preach. He was the first one that I stopped by. I was going home to tell my wife and I stopped by his house. Come on in, Brother Paul. She said, have a tomato sandwich. And that's what I ate. I told him what I did. He got down, he's on his knees. He looks like he's on his knees all the time, short as he is. He got in, he started praying for me. He prayed that God would fill me. He prayed that God would give me the power to stand and preach the word of God. That old man's in heaven right now shouting it out. He had God all over him. He preached, brother. I'm telling you right now. Oh, I'm telling you. Did you ever know him, brother? Yeah, you knew. You knew it. Amen. Hadn't always had the power of God. There'd been times I went behind that pulpit, Brother Vaughn, because you preachers probably never liked that. You felt like God was 1,000 miles away, but he was there. Amen. What did he do? What did Thomas miss? He missed the presence of the Lord. He missed the power. He missed the peace of the Lord. And he missed the power of the Lord. Now let me read you a few more verses of scripture. He didn't kind of get nothing. He did get revived. Here's what he said boastfully. The Bible said in verse number 24, Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas is present. I like that, don't you? And Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I'm not going to believe anything until I see him and I touch him. The wounds in his hand. Well, let's go a little bit further. You know, without the presence of God, we say a lot of things we shouldn't say. No, we shouldn't say. We say a lot of things that's not right. But look what he said. And after 8 days, the word 8 means a new beginning, again his disciples were within. They was wanting some more. Woo! Brother Bill, they were wanting the presence of God again. If you ever get out of the glory where the spot where the glory runs out, you want to get there again. Say amen. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors been shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." There he is again. Amen. You know why he said, "Peace be unto you"? Because he knew how weak that we are. That's why he said in Matthew 26 and verse number 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need God tonight. And I'll get home tonight, and I'll be dead tired. And I'll get up in the morning, and before I get home, I'll tell my wife, "Phew, I ain't going nowhere next week. Supposed to be in Kentucky, so I ain't going nowhere next week. I'm give out. Brother Allen wants me to come down week after next. I ain't going to Brother Allen's. I'm tired. I'm give out. I'm staying home. I'm getting too old for all these long trips. I ain't old. I just feel like it once in a while. 70 ain't old." But this morning I told her, I said, "Praise God. I got a good night's rest. I got me a good shower." I said, "Hey, man, they can't hardly wait to get up there tonight." And I said, "Hey, by the way, we are going to Kentucky next week. And by the grace of God, we're going to Georgia the week after next." I said, "Well, a good change of mind, you know." God will strengthen. Isn't it good what a hot shower will do for you? Isn't it good, my friend, what a good night's rest will do for you? Isn't it good when God just revives you again? Now let's go. And Thomas then said, Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Brother Bill, he had his head in the right place. I'm so glad you preached that message tonight, because it has helped me tremendously. And it has helped me to preach this message tonight. Ain't God good? He got his head in the right place. Hallelujah. Somebody said this about the Bible. You got it in your hands. Now get it in your head and keep it in your heart. Hold my baby while I shout, man, a baby around here. I don't think. Maybe some in the nursery. I don't know. Let me give you this and I'm through. He said, "My Lord and my God." He didn't touch him. He just saw him. And the Bible said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. I've never seen him person to person, but I'm going to one day, because I saw him by faith in the Word of God. And you'll see him too. Look what the Bible said. Jesus saith unto him, look at the compassion that Jesus had on Thomas and for Thomas. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Verse 30 and 31, I'm through. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. For these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That's why John's gospel was written. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen. "I've never seen him by the eye of faith, but I read in the Bible one day that Jesus died on the cross to save my soul. I came just as I was, an old sinner lost and on the road to hell. No joy in my life, no power did I have,
But Jesus saved me one day. June the 28th, 1970. Got born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! He's good, ain't he? Time to go home. I could preach 30 more minutes, but that's it. God is so good, isn't he? Boy, I like the way you conduct the service. Just get on up here, preachers. Come on, preachers. God bless you. Rear back, let her rip. What did God do? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Let's stand to our feet. I'm through preaching. Did I bring my little coat in here? Okay, let me have that coat. Maybe somebody needs to come tonight. Say, I want to stay in the presence of the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been as faithful to God as you should. You haven't read your Bible like you should. You haven't prayed. All of us could use some help on this area. Haven't read the Bible like we should. Haven't prayed like we should. Haven't witnessed like we should. Have been faithful to the church like we should. I wonder tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you know that you're saved? Would you raise your hand if you know you're saved? Know you're saved. Thank you. That looks like everybody. Is there one saved preacher? You may take it in. Is there one saved preacher? I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? How many would say, preacher, I got a loved one that's lost without God, and I want you to pray for him. Would you raise your hand tonight all over the building? Please come right now while the sister plays, and let's ask God to save them.
Yes.
Come on right now. That's right. I don't care if you've been to the altar every night this week. Just come on. Have a little talk with Jesus. Thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing another verse. Boy, ain't God good. Oh, he's so good. Lord, we sure need you. You helped us so well tonight. I want to thank you. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and saving us. Bless every individual in the house of God tonight, Lord. Please give us safety on the highway. Give us a good night's rest, a good day on tomorrow. We love you and thank you. We'll praise you for it all. Save our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. Lord, we certainly do need you. We need you, Lord. Thank you.